What a psalm. And Lord, it's incredible to think that your heart, your goal, your desire, the purpose that you sent your son into this world, the purpose earlier that you called Abraham, the purpose was that the nations would enjoy a relationship with you. And I pray this morning that you'll show us again the part that you have for us to play in the nations coming into the enjoyment of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now this psalm gives two pointers towards the nations enjoying God, and I'm going to talk about them, and then I'm going to talk about just some blessings that I've seen here at Southside over the 11 years that Helen and I have been here in relation to this topic. So this psalm gives two pointers towards the nations enjoying God. The first point is this, that God blesses us so that the nations can enjoy God. The main point of Psalm 67 is that when God smiles on his people, he's doing it with a purpose. He's smiling on you and me in order that ultimately the nations who are not smiling this morning will be able to smile in God. And there are many ways of expressing this. I get tuned in when Lillian leads because she's a good girl. She understands the word of God, and she talked about the world becoming worshippers. That's another way of looking at it. Let me read this again, and you just try and see the link between God's smile on you and the fact that he wants his smile to be on the nations. God, mark us with grace and blessing. Smile. The whole country will see how you work, and all the godless nations will see how you save. God, let people thank and enjoy you. Let all people thank and enjoy you. You get it? God blesses us so that the nations will be blessed. And this was the great foundational missionary truth that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 or 2 and 3 as he called him. When he was way back in Ur of the Chaldees, God said to Abraham, I will make you, one man, a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, it wasn't just in Genesis. In Isaiah, the same theme is picked up, and in 49 verse 6, I will give you, that's Israel, as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That was God's purpose when he called a nation Israel into existence. And so this is almost exactly in Genesis and in Isaiah 49, almost exactly what the psalmist is saying in chapter 67. Only the psalmist turns the promise into a prayer. Now there's something for all of us. We should, every time we find a promise in God's word, we should turn it into a prayer. Now this is really an aside now, because I'm up to lesson 11 this week with the CTP Book 1 group. In all of my Christian ministry, I have never had such a spiritually hungry group of people. Now Jen Beth is one of them, but the other are all 9 fairly new followers of Jesus amongst our Hmong folk. I mean, I tell Helen every Wednesday night when I'm finished, I could die and go to heaven now. You know, this is incredible. And these people are just hungering after the Word of God. And this week, 2 weeks ago, we were dealing with the promises of God. And because this is all new to them. They've known nothing before. And when I told them there are probably 38,000 promises in the Bible, that blew their minds. But to hear these new believers discovering promises in God's Word and then turning them into prayer, I thought, well, I'm just going to emphasise that this morning, because that's what I need to do more often and that's what we need to do more often. When you find a promise, it's God. The all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-present God makes a promise. We ought to be turning it into prayer and worshipping Him and taking hold of those promises and saying, God, this is what you promised. Now come through. Come through for me. Come through for the sake of the nations. All right, that's an aside. Extra. Didn't cost you anything for that. Psalm 67, verse 2. May God have pity on us and bless us. May He smile on us. Then your ways will be known on earth and your salvation throughout the nations. So God promises His blessing on His people in order that the nations will be blessed. So I believe that we should actually be bold in praying that God will bless us. Some people sort of think, oh, can we really do that? Is that being selfish? No. I want to encourage us this morning to say, God bless me. God bless us here at Southside. It's not that God doesn't love us. It's that God is using us. And so when we pray for God's blessing on us so that we will enjoy Him, we're actually praying that in our enjoyment of God, that will flow on to the nations so that the nations will come to enjoy God. So it's not wrong to pray for God to make you happy in the right sense. Some people think that happiness happens when happenings happen to happen happily. But that's not true. Happiness happens when happenings happen to happen happily. But that's not true. If you're a Christian, our happiness is in God, regardless of whether we're happy or unhappy. Got it? Wow. So God wants to bless us. And so for the sake of the nations, I believe we can ask God that our enjoyment in Him will be as electrically dynamic as that young couple that's just fallen in love for the very first time. Ever thought of your relationship with God like that? That's how it should be. In love with God, enjoying God. All right, the second point is this. God won't bless those who just enjoy themselves. In 1981, Dennis Cochran, a SIL Bible translator, was in a PNG village with his language helper. And they came to a word for eternal life. And Dennis saw his language helper looking over his shoulder, and he obviously lost his attention at this point in time. And he said, "What's happening?" And he said, "Oh, I was just looking over your shoulder at the cemetery." And then the language helper said to Dennis, "Did your father know Jesus?" Dennis said, "Oh yeah, my father knew Jesus." He said, "Did your grandfather know Jesus?" "Yeah, my grandfather knew Jesus." He said, "Did your great-grandfather know Jesus?" "Yes," he said, "my great-grandfather was a pastor." And then with tears running down his face, this language helper said to Dennis, "My father didn't know Jesus. My grandfather didn't know Jesus. And my great-grandfather didn't know Jesus." Why did it take you so long to bring this message? If we stay seated, I'd like us to read this incredible passage from Isaiah chapter 61. Let's read this together. I hope you can see it. "The Spirit of the Almighty God is with me, because the Lord has anointed me to deliver good news to humble people. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to announce that captives will be set free and prisoners will be released. He has sent me to announce the year of the Lord's goodwill and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all those who grieve. He has sent me to provide for all those who grieve in Zion, to give them crowns instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of tears of grief, the clothes of praise instead of a spirit of weakness. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might display his glory. Connected in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 67. God blesses
up to our necks in praying and planning and working for the salvation of the world.
God will bless any church that has its focus on the unreached. Let me finally just talk a little bit about how Southside can remain in the river of joy. Now, I believe there's a river of joy flowing to the nations from the throne of God, and his people dive into that river in order to be part of his plan. We don't work for him, we just get in on what he's already doing. And in the light of these incredibly powerful missionary axioms that I have shared with you this morning, I just want to remind myself and you of some of the blessings here at Southside over the last few years. And I want to demonstrate, I hope, that a people as weak as we are and with all of our faults and failures, if our hearts are set on the nations, then God will bless us. I've actually spent some time this week reading through my reports to the annual general meetings for the last 11 years. It's very sobering. I don't know how many people have been through the English congregation in the last 10 years, but I would suspect it's in the thousands. People have come and gone, partly because of the very fact that we're an international church, and so students come and go and all of those things. When Helen and I came here in August the 7th, 2000, there were about 50 people in the English congregation meeting up in the worship centre and no children. Well, John and Lucy, how old was Catherine then? 13? So, you know, you all know that my wife prayed that God would bring at least 5 families with children. And, you know, Southside was a very, very missionary-minded church. The elders, the previous pastors like Derek and Marilyn and John Moy and others. I mean, even back before we became an Alliance church, the Reverend Larson was here for many years when this was a United Protestant church. And your parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And God has always had his hand on this church from a missions perspective. And when I came to this church, people asked me, because, you know, we'd pastored out in Western Australia, we'd pastored in Sydney, I'd been the leader of the denomination for 13 years, and then God called us to come here to 50 people in a little wooden church on the corner of Pinelands and Mains Road. And Beanley Road. And I have to tell you, initially I didn't want to come. I thought this was a crazy idea. You know, Char rang me up one day and said, God's told me. Well, God will have to tell me, mate. But, you know, he was tuned into something. And we came, and as I said, the church was already missionary-minded. But I'd gone to my very first church, you know, even though I was sort of mature. I'd gone through some pretty tough things, and I was 35 years of age, but I'd just graduated from Bible college with a BTH, and I had all these plans to save the world, and we went out to this little country church in Western Australia. So I did have a bit of an agenda. And then, God blessed, we had a wonderful time out there and saw a lot of people come to know Jesus, and then God called us through a miraculous set of circumstances to pastor in Sydney. Again, I didn't want to go there. But my best friend, probably the best friend I've ever had in my whole life, John Poker, the previous president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, was dying of juvenile onset diabetes. He'd led the work of the Alliance, but he was a dying man, and he asked me to come and pastor the church in French's Forest. So we pastored for 1 year, and then John got so sick that in the second year I was pastoring the church and leading the work of the Alliance. And then in 1989, in January, we packed up. The Alliance had bought a house for the new national headquarters in Canberra, so it was near to the college. And Helen and I and four children moved into this house. We were in that house for 3 days with all of our boxes unpacked, and we got the word that John, my good friend, had gone to be with the Lord. So we got the cat and the dog minded, and we went back to Sydney, and I had the privilege of taking his funeral. And well, that was that. And then God called us to come up here. And many people said, why are you going up there? You know, you've had this ministry all around the world. You're going to a little church with 50 people. It was the weather. That was what it was. And the food. But I'm not going to tell the whole story. But we went through a period of months where it was like we were on God's big wave. We were just surfing. Like, everything that was logical went by the board, and God, I mean, we signed a contract for a rental house even before the deacons finally called us. I mean, I'd never done anything like that in our whole lives. And people kept saying, what are you going to do? What's your plan? And I honestly said, I don't have any plan at all. And when we came here, the elders got on their knees and we said, we don't have any plan. We just want to pray and ask God, you show us the next step and the next step and the next step. And by God's grace, we're here at this point and we're still doing that. I mean, we had a staff meeting on Tuesday, and Pastor Shane told me that when he took the elements for the communion service into the kitchen of the worship centre, he almost threw up last week. There were 9 babies in there. Nappies had been changed. We really have a problem. Kitty shared with us about the challenge of the space in the Sunday school. And we're just on our knees saying, God, we don't know what the answer is, but please show us the next step. So we're still here. And God has really done some incredible things. You know, way back in 1960, I felt God calling me to be a missionary pilot. But God had other plans. I don't know, God knows our personality. And God knew that I would actually be better at inspiring and encouraging and inciting others to go overseas than for me to go myself. I don't understand it fully, but God knows our personalities. God knows everything about us. And so over the years, Helen and I have had the joy of seeing many, many people go into missionary service, including our own precious daughter. And this remains my big dream for Southside. However many years God's going to keep us here. Last Sunday, Derek and I had the incredible privilege of commissioning the team that is now on an aeroplane flying to Bangkok. And I tell you, it was something else. There were 60 teenagers in that congregation last week. And they are just turned inside out. And the team stood at the front, and we just prayed for them. And I said to these kids, as I look into your faces, I really believe with all of my heart that in the next 5 to 10 years, many of you, God's going to call into cross-cultural ministry, whether it's here in Australia or overseas. And so, folks, get ready. We're on a ride that's only just beginning. The United Elders, that's the elders from all of the congregations, have set a goal that this church grow to about 1,200 people. And we don't want to go beyond that. Once we get to 1,200, this place will be packed again, and then we'll go church planting. In fact, we're already church planting. Shane has already started with 6 families in his home. And there are some other ideas. And many of you have been in the Christian training program. This morning, 3 of you took your exam for Book 6. Finished. Hallelujah, they said. Finished. And many of you have graduated from the CTP program, and many of you are now leaders in the congregation. But I think God's going to take us to another level in the next few years, and some of you are actually going to step out and, Michael, not only start home groups, but those home groups are going to become churches. We're going to plant more churches. Amen. Around this place. I believe that with all my heart. So my dream is that this church will increasingly become a launching pad for the training of pastors and missionaries and cross-cultural workers and Bible college lecturers and everything else. And for Helen and me, this is our passion. God has put a passion on our heart to raise up leaders for the church. And that's why we're involved in the International Training Alliance. And in April, we're going to be in the Philippines. We've been working for 4 years to raise up a team of Filipino trainers. And after 2013, the whole ministry of the Leadership Matters course is going to be given to them. And they're going to do it in a different way, and they're going to bless thousands and thousands of pastors across the Philippines with this training. For me, I can't think of anything else that I'd want to do with my life than to be involved in preaching the gospel here and sharing with students and raising up leaders around the world. And I just, you know, I've already mentioned Andrew, sorry to pick on you, mate, but it's been so good to work with Campus Crusade for Christ. I mean, student life is one of the 61 ministries of Campus Crusade. Just one. And this week I've done some research because it stirred me up. In the middle of 1965, I was standing in front of the Southern Cross Hotel in Melbourne. And I looked, and Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, was walking out the hotel door, and I was his chauffeur for a week in Melbourne. And I got to know him, and I knew I was in the presence of an incredible visionary and a man of God. Bill Bright went to be with the Lord some years ago. In fact, when did he go? He died in July 2003. And Bill Bright's legacy is the largest Christian mission ever in the history of the world. Did you know that Campus Crusades is the biggest missionary organization in the world, serving in 191 countries? Campus Crusade for Christ is the only mission in history that has ever entered every nation on earth. Bill Bright was the visionary behind the Jesus film. How many of you have seen the Jesus film? I'm not talking about the Passion of the Christ, the Jesus film. Wow, we've got some work to do here. We're going to show the Jesus film here one day. I got some statistics here. The Jesus film. The classic version is in 1,121 languages. No film in the history of the world has ever been translated so much as the Jesus film. There are, actually, when you add the children version and the audios and all the others, there are 1,135 versions of the film available. Billy Graham said the Jesus film is the greatest and most brilliant evangelistic tool of all time. The cumulative audience that watched the Jesus film up until 1979, from 1979, is 6 billion people. 6 billion people, and the cumulative indicated decisions for Christ through watching the Jesus film is more than 200 million people. Unbelievable. Campus Crusade, like Operation Mobilisation and the CMA, is a mission. But missions can't help themselves. They have to go out and plant churches, and churches over the years become denominations, and missions don't want to be denominations. They want to stay on the cutting edge of being missionary. So Campus Crusade is going to face a huge missiological challenge in the next decade. Last week I had the privilege of having coffee with Peter Maiden, the director of Operation Mobilisation. Now, OM started 50, 60 years ago. They've gone all over the world. They've planted churches. And now in India they have thousands of Good Shepherd schools and churches that have become a denomination. So what does OM do? It's a struggle. It's a huge question. And they've had tremendous conflict, and actually through a lot of conferences in the last few months, OM India has actually left OM and become its own Good Shepherd denomination, but is affiliated with Operation Mobilisation. Friends, I could keep you here for hours, but we're living in the most exciting day of world missions. You know, 100 years ago, the CMA and OM and all of these other missions started. They've done a good job, and now these great missionary churches are rising up all over the world, and we've got to figure out how those of us in the West actually relate to them. It's a huge, huge question. But I just want to say thank God for Bill Bright. This is a man who a number of times in his later years fasted for 40 days. He actually has a book on how to fast for 40 days. And the only reason he fasted was so that the nations might come into the enjoyment of God. That was what was on his heart. What's God done here at Southside? Well, I think God has blessed us. And I've been very challenged by our good friend Florence, who's been telling us, you know, when we have our Wednesday night prayer meetings, just once a month, 3 or 4 people are coming. Does that sound like a missionary-minded church? We've got Richard and Trish going to India. They're going to face hell in India. Who's been to India? India is the most needy country in the world. Satan has his hand on that country and he doesn't want to let go. And they're going to need our prayers and our support. And all our other missionaries. I better move on really quickly because I'm getting convicted too. I believe God has blessed us for the sake of the nations and we have got involved in world missions. We've fixed our prayers on all sorts of things. God's blessed us with the overseas students. We have all sorts of people coming here. All sorts of people. Zura Resh, are you here this morning? She's not here today. Oh, yes, she's here. Now, I want you to meet this lovely lady. I only really got to talk to her last night. She has a PhD. She's from Kazakhstan, and she's here on a 12-month research project. And Kazakhstan, she told me just a few years ago when the first missionaries went after the Berlin Wall and all that stuff, there were 3 believers. This lady is a member of a church in Almaty, the former capital of Kazakhstan, with 7,000 people in the church. You've got to get to know this lady. She loves Jesus. We're glad that you're part of us. But because we're sitting here just beside Griffith Unity, we have this privilege of all sorts of people coming. And we need to have our eyes open and our hearts open and be ready to see what God will do. We've seen had the joy of seeing over 50 people in the Hmong congregation come to Jesus this year. I don't know how many people Pastor Shane has baptised, but it's something like 30. And now we're working with these students. We're seeing more of them come to Christ. I didn't even know, but a young man was introduced to me this morning who's in this building this morning who prayed to receive Jesus on Thursday night at Griffith. So there are new members of God's family all around us. Actually, Shane is dedicating 9 babies in the worship centre today. Helen and I have this involvement in LMC and we so appreciate your support in that. God has really touched Vinay and Belinda's hearts and they formed 2 organisations, Grace Adventures and Kingdom Adventures, taking people on short-term mission trips. But not just that, trying to understand the whole process of what it takes to be ready and understanding so that when you go on a mission trip, you will get the most out of it. You will see things from God's perspective. And then when you come home, follow it up so that you will be able to integrate and reflect on what you have learned. We have HELP. Has anyone heard of HELP? Scott and Chrissy's NGO that is officially registered here in Australia. And so all the team that's flying this morning are going with HELP. We have Michelle Kemp with Operation Mobilisation in Thailand. Richard and Trish are heading out. And then we have all of our own CMA missionaries. This week, Rick Bell Skyped me on Friday, and he couldn't stop talking. I couldn't shut him up. He is so excited about Jesus and what's happening in Manila. And, of course, he is the new Director of International Missions for the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Australia. We've never had a missions director in these 40 years of our history. And in February, he told me he's getting all of our missionaries together. So Tin and Arn from Cambodia, where he's just been, he's just blown his mind visiting them. And Maria, Michael and Teresa Komen, and Ali Dench from Mongolia, and the Bells themselves, and he wanted Fiona and John to come, but in February there are elections in Senegal and it's going to be volatile and they can't leave the country. But this new missions director, before he's even started the job, is getting all the missionaries together in Manila for 11 days in February. This has never happened in the history of the Alliance. Our own missionaries actually sitting together and sharing and talking about what an incredible thing that's going to be. And not only that, he's inviting Shirley Towner to go. Now, Shirley is the administrator in Canberra. Actually, don't tell anyone, but the people who are the presidents of the Alliance, they think they're running the show, but actually Shirley Towner runs the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And any organisation that has a good administrator, the presidents would say the same thing. And she handles all the money and knows everything that's going on. So we've got Alison Dench in Mongolia. Mongolia is just like Kazakhstan. I can remember 20 years ago, whenever there was a mission organisation come and visit and they knew anything about Mongolia, they always said, for years and years, we don't know of one Christ follower in Mongolia. That was common. Today there are churches all over Mongolia. There are believers in Jesus all over Mongolia. And we have the privilege of supporting a Christian and Missionary Alliance, single, dynamic lady who loves Jesus, who's there doing the job. We've got Michael and Teresa Komen, who recently just moved to Davao City, in the southern Philippines, in the midst of radical Islam, and they are introducing a thing called the Peace Initiative. The Peace Initiative was developed by Alliance missionaries in Indonesia, another Muslim country. And the Peace Initiative is to mostly teenagers and university students. And they're sick of the fact that Christians and Muslims are fighting each other all the time, and these young people are saying, we want to do something different. And so they are getting out on the streets and they're having peace marches. But it's in the name of Jesus. And so Michael has taken up this whole thing and they've started to have peace marches in Davao City and in some of the other big towns around that part of the Philippines. And they're building relationships with Muslim people like has never happened before. And these are Alliance missionaries that your faith promise supports. And of course we've got Tin and Arn working with the most wretched, depressed group of people on the planet. And that is Vietnamese refugees who are living in Cambodia. A terrible situation. And John and Fiona in Senegal are pioneering a radical new approach. For 100 years, dozens of Christian organisations have worked in Senegal, especially with the Wolof people, 6 million of them, and after 100 years of missionary work by all of these brilliant agencies, there are 50 known believers out of 6 million Wolof speakers. It's a Muslim country, so you can't do traditional church planting. So John and his mate have formed a business called the Phoenix Group, and they're in partnership with a group from America who have already been operating for 15 years, who teach business principles. These are all successful Christian businessmen, all with MBAs, and they go around the world teaching business principles, and it's been very effective. Many, many people have come to Christ. And as I talked to Fiona this week, she is so excited. She said, Dad, last week we were in the Austrian embassy, and all the ambassadors were there. And she said, we've got these 20 top businessmen enrolled in the seminar that's going to be held on Wednesday of this week in Dakar. She said, I think that John and I have made contact with people
at a high level in this country that missionaries who've been here for 40 years have never met. It's incredible. And we are supporting them through the Great Commission Fund of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I hope you're encouraged by this. Your generosity in allowing Helen and I to go on this Leadership Matters course has now, we've seen 1,600 of God's frontline troops trained and more effective in the kingdom. It's just incredible what's happening. So, Southside isn't just a church. I often say to people, when you become a member of the Southside International Church, you are also actually joining the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Australia. So you're actually committing yourself to world missions. You're committing yourself to be involved at a different level than most people who just go to church on Sunday. Jesus said, Matthew 9:38, Lord of the harvest, send out workers into your harvest field. I believe God, I've got so tied up here that this has even turned itself off. It takes about 20 seconds to come on. I wonder if the battery's gone, Ken. Thank you. The third point I've got here is that for the sake of the nations, God has blessed us with an increasing number of people. Russell has done the space analysis, and if everyone showed up at Southside on one Sunday, we'd have 700 people here. I mean, that just blows my mind. And I believe God is growing us only for one reason, and that is that we become a stronger launching pad for the unevangelized cultures around the world. So let's try and keep our motives pure. Because I believe that when our motive is just love for Jesus and the glory of God, God will continue to bring precious people to us that we can lead to Him. And our growth is so that the nations can enjoy God. That's what it's all about. For the sake of the nations, God has blessed us with increased giving. And I don't need to say too much about that, but our faith promise this year is almost $30,000. We give about $10,000 to other missionary causes as well, over and above our tithing. And finally, let me say this. For the enjoyment of God in the nations, I believe with all my heart that God is going to bless Southside International Church with a solution to our space problem. God, honestly, I've been saying, you can't not do this. This is your church. You've blessed us. We've grown to this point. We've got all these people out around the nations and in Brisbane reaching out to people. We really need space. And everyone... In fact, I've got this suggestion that we launch a new building fund. I haven't written to Tang yet because he's going to be looking after this. But I want to call it GPS... All Nations. GPS All Nations. God's praise spreading to all nations. That's our building fund. What do you think of that? That's just one idea. And I believe that if we honour that intention to spread His praise, then any investment we make of time, of money, of our lives, I believe our space challenge will be answered by God very, very quickly. And in fact, I don't think it's going to be a problem to pay for it. Whatever that cost might be. But we need to keep our GPS locked onto God's purposes. And then God will bless us. So this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit is here. I believe He's stirring many of our hearts. And maybe this morning you've realised I have to recalibrate my GPS. My GPS has been locked onto the wrong thing. In the spring of 1867, a young American shoe salesman came to Bristol one day, and he was invited to a prayer meeting in a private house. And during that meeting, the minister, the Reverend Henry Varley, stood up and spoke.
And one of the memorable things that Reverend Varley said was this: the world has yet to see what God can do through one man wholly committed to Him. A young American who visited that prayer meeting walked out of that prayer meeting that day with those words etched on his mind. Those words gave him no peace until he resolved before God, and he said, "I will be that man." Now, how many people remember the name of Henry Varley? I guess only you, because you know the story. But how many people have heard the name of D.L. Moody? Only the oldies. The young ones need to do some church history reading. D.L. Moody was the greatest evangelist of the century before last and into the last century. A man who preached the gospel to hundreds of thousands of people around the world. He said, "I'll be that man." And I guess my challenge this morning is to every one of us, and especially to you young people. Listen to those words. The world has yet to see what God will do through the person who is wholly committed to Him. So there's two questions at the end. Just want us to take time with your sheet of paper. Let's take a couple of minutes and just reflect. What is my personal GPS locked onto? And in what ways will this give me joy in God? And secondly, in what ways can SIC stay in God's river of joy? Let's just reflect in the presence of the Holy Spirit on these questions for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word has reminded us this morning that You really do have a heart to bless Your people. But the reason You want to bless Your people is that they in turn would become a blessing to those who are still outside of the knowledge of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are pained this morning to realize that probably 2 billion people in this world still haven't heard the name of Jesus. And here we are, we hear Your name every day. And I pray, Lord, that You will deal with our hearts. Show us what our lives are really locked onto. And help us realize, Lord, that only when our lives are locked into God that our joy will be full, and that You will overflow that joy in blessing to people not only here in Brisbane but all around the world. So we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.